CataractCoach.com podcast series, episode number 174, with Professor Waleed Zabiba, the paradigm shift in resident teaching of ophthalmic surgery. This is going to change everything.
Welcome back to our Cataract Coach podcast. And today, I have a very special guest. I have what I call my brother. That is Professor Waleed Zabiba from Tunisia. Welcome, Professor.
Hello, brother. Thank you for the invitation. Very honored to join the world number one podcast in ophthalmology. It's very amazing to see you again. And it's a big honor for me to be with you in this podcast. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I just finished a fun week that I spent in Tunisia, spending time, of course, with you, but also with all the young ophthalmologists, your residents and fellows, and your organization called NEGOSS, N-E-G-O-S-S. Tell us about this. What is it?
NEGOSS, it's a new concept of society. It was born from simple observation. There was a gap in the transfer of surgical knowledge to young ophthalmologists. Our society has only 2 years old. Yet we have had the privilege of welcoming some of the most renowned ophthalmic surgeons in this last two years. The first, including Neto Rosatelli from Brazil, Ahmed Salem from US, Barbara Paolini from Italy, Michael Amon from Austria, and most recently, the big Uday Devgan himself. So, what makes NEGOSS different? Is it the philosophy? At many congress, international guests naturally spend most of their time interacting with senior and established surgeons. So in NEGOSS, we choose a different model. Our goal is to place young ophthalmologists at the center of the experience.
Right.
As you saw by yourself, our guests spend a significant amount of time with resident and young ophthalmologists, not only during lecture or scientific session, but also through direct discussion and informal exchange and social activities. Because our society is not about organization meeting or inviting famous speakers. It's about building bridge between generation, young and confirmed generation. It is about creating opportunity and exposing young to grow and for the highest standard of our profession. Ultimately, our mission is to help shape the next generation of ophthalmologists and to make them more skilled, more confident, and better prepared for the future. That is why we made NEGOSS. Our goal is to achieve their learning journey and inspire them to dream bigger.
Right. Yeah, yes. So it stands for Next Generation Ophthalmic Surgical Society. And yes. What I really enjoyed was, again, very different than most meetings. At most meetings I go to, it's me with the gray hair. They take me and I spend time with other professors, all with gray hair. And the young doctors are somewhere else. I don't even see them. And this was very different. I spent every day spent with the young, even first year resident. I said, how many cataracts have you done? And he said, zero, but I watch your videos. I'm going to learn soon. And it was so inspiring to be able to mentor that young generation. Plus, they made me feel young.
And I feel in their eyes, they talked with Uday Devgan. It's a dream for them. So when we talk with a great personality or a great mentor, they can change their personal life, and they grow mindset, and it's very special for them. And I saw that in their eyes when they talked with you, and we saw them in the session that you made together. It was impressive, and they are very, very happy. And they're still in their memories.
Right. So I did Best of Cataract Coach, I had some challenging or difficult cases. Yes. And so for my panel, instead of having gray hair doctors like me, old doctor, we had your three very young doctors, and they were fantastic. And they did not get to see the surgeries ahead of time. So all the videos I showed them, they had no idea it was coming. And they did a beautiful job.
Yes, they asked a lot of questions and they interact with you. And they asked the very, very brilliant questions. And I'm very proud of them. Really, I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, no, I had a really fantastic time there. Now, let's talk about dismantling the academic hierarchy. So most places, professors keep the residents on a very tight leash. They don't let them do too much. But you have a different philosophy. You want the young doctors to take the lead.
So I remember in my fellowship or in my residency time, our beginnings shape the way we approach our career later on. I remember when I started my ophthalmology training in Tunisia, cataract surgery was very limited, only in a minority of surgeons. We had no YouTube that time, no cataractcoach.com, and no wet lab available. So, and the relationship between professor and resident was very vertical. The hierarchy was rigid. The training was based on a long time of observation. For me, for example, it took me 3 years to start the first steps of cataract surgery. And I only finished my first case at the end of third year. Nevertheless, I always had the will to transfer the skills to my fellow colleagues, even at the beginner level, sometimes out of the eyes of my professor. It was amazing that time to share my what I learned to my colleagues out of the eyes of the professor. It was amazing for me.
Yeah, so you have a gift for teaching. You're really quite a remarkable teacher. And what I love the most about your teaching is you teach by having the resident do the work, do the surgery with their hands.
Yes, so. I combined them for each steps and for the first steps. So for me, the main goal is to build the confidence in the novice surgeons who right. are terrified to make mistakes and right. to avoid mistakes. So we have to manage their anxiety in the operating room. So my goal is not to teach them theoretical. Theoretical we can find, we can't find this in the books. So I try to help them and give them skills transfer. So I had the opportunity to become a head of department of ophthalmology in Nabil in Tunisia at a young age, about 33 years old. Back then, after my VR fellow, back then at my arrival, we had an old phaco machine. It's an Italian brand called Surgicon. So we transfer skills on this machine. Being a VR surgeon gives me the ability to manage all the complications. Novice surgeons come to the operating room with their doubts and their fears. And I ask them, what would be the biggest fear for you? And they told me a lens drop. So I tell them, I will take it out. So work. Don't be worry about nothing. For many reasons, dropping lens was like a huge blow in their surgical career. In many departments, they would be singled out. But being reassured by your boss, knowing that your back is covered, relieves the pressure and helps you to learn from your mistakes and therefore advance.
Right. Important to have that safety net so you just don't have to worry anymore. So for
my residence complication, you know, the best way to learn is to teach. It is for me, it's so real. So I trust in this. The best way to learn is to teach.
Right, for sure. So it's very important you gave the resident that safety net. Don't worry. Even if the lens drops, I will fix it.
Yes, this is why I told them, go ahead, I'm with you.
And then you also change the idea. You have a very high volume shift. So now your residents don't do just one or two cases. They do a lot of surgery.
Yes. In my department, so how I manage the department? In my department, the cataract cases are classified into four groups according to the difficulty level. Easy cases like good, dilation, moderate, density, no PX are for the beginners. The next level would be a bit more difficult for more experienced residents. The challenging cases are for seniors and most experienced residents. This will allow the resident to operate according their surgical level and advance effectively. This is also keeps them motivated. They know the cases they recruit are for them. This is the main, this is very important. They are recruiting not just for recruiting for seniors, they're recruiting for them. So they know their patient. Before getting very recently the new microscope in our department 2 years ago, what I imagine to for the skills transfer is I manage this with to link the old microscope with video projector and project the surgery live to the wall with a video projector, big screen and wall, so every resident can follow the surgery of their colleague when he's operating. So we can, and each resident should record his video, and we watch them together every week to learn together, have feedbacks, see what went well and what went wrong. So it looks like what you are doing for them and for us. I learned a lot from you, Dr. Uday. So this is in internet, but we did this in our department. So in a local community, Yes.
No, that's fantastic. I think the way to learn is, again, by doing the surgery and then learning from every surgery you do. So it's very important to record the video so you can go back and see what did I do well, what needs improvement.
Yes, yes.
Now, how do you know when to intervene? So if you're working with a resident and the resident's doing cataract, and let's say there's a complication, the Rexa starts to run out, how do you know when is it time for you to stop and you take over?
Great question, Uday. This is in our department in Tunisia. Now in Tunisia, simulator and labs are very limited. So resident will operate from the beginning on real patients. So it makes high pressure on the trainer. So so we have to take care of the patient and take of his vision. So the safety of the patient is the first goal. So this is much more challenging for the trainer, as I said. The deadline depends really. Every resident is attached, first of all, on a senior. The red line will be decided by the trainee level, skills, the case level and difficulty, and always by the patient complaints. The top priority in our work as a teacher is the safety and the vision of the patient. When the trainer sees the risk, he stops the trainee and go ahead on the patient and take over the surgery. So it depends, really, it depends. We can't do what we can see in limited or so it depends, the red line, it depends on the lot of situation.
Right, it depends on the patient, the resident skill, the clinical situation, all these take into account. But you always put patient safety number one.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the most important. Now, what are some of the secret pearls or secret tricks that you have that you teach that sometimes we don't find in the textbook?
So I have one sentence that I told to each resident who come to my department. I tell the resident from the day one, you want to be a surgeon or an operator. There's a big gap between the two words. There is a huge difference between this. Surgery Surgery is a philosophy. It requires dedication, humility, and discipline. The residents must be the first to come to the theater and the last to leave. And we share this together, and we talked about this when you were in Tunisia, Uday. The operating theater is their room. They must do everything, arrange the boxes, clean the instruments, knowing the surgeon, every detail matters. Operating is something you do. Being a surgeon is something you become. This is my philosophy for me. There is a big gap. And that's why I said to all my residents when they come in my department. This is...
Right. Anyone can be an operator. But to be a surgeon, you have to be like the passion, the drive, the dedication. You have to be almost like an artist.
Yes, it's like a difference between diamond knives and steel knife.
Yeah.
More accurate.
That is very true, very true. Now we talked a little bit about things like teaching a capsulorhexis. How do you teach a capsulorhexis? Because for a beginning surgeon, capsulorhexis is total stress, and it's something they just don't know how to do. How do you teach that?
So nowadays it's very easy because we have simulator, we have artificial eyes to learn about doing recapsulorhexis. But before this, before rexis is a key step for sure. And with the incision, there are the two steps, that will condition the outcome of all the surgery. Okay. So I recommend the resident to start to work home on tomato or grape and do surgery. When they perform the rexis on a real patient, they should use dispersive OVD to push the capsule and plane the capsule, not bombing a capsule. So add frequently viscoelastic as you want. So don't hesitate to add viscoelastic. The trainer is here. In the case of the runout, they take control. Trainers tend to make, for the beginners, to make small rexes out of fear of runout of the rexes.
Right.
So before proceeding to the next step, the trainee enlarges the rexes and go ahead for the next steps.
Right. I always say, don't make a baby rexes.
Yes. You see, you said this every, I like this. And I repeat this, don't make a baby rexes. And especially when we do, we'll talk after in our podcast about, if you want, about manual scleral incision. Yes.
Right, absolutely. So
yes.
Another thing is for teaching efficiency during phaco for a novice, for a beginning resident, how do you transition them from divide and conquer to maybe then stop and chop, and then maybe kind of variants of horizontal, vertical chop? How do you teach them different maneuvers?
Yes, this is a big step for the trainer and the trainee, the both. In our department, we prefer to do stop and chop technique. It's very safe technique, in my opinion. It is excellent technique, safe, efficient, for any type of cataract, as you know. I know many great of surgeons who perform only stop and chop until now.
Sure.
Direct chop is not a goal in on itself. Some residents have this obsession to jump into direct chop. Once the trainee become comfortable with the stop and chop, he can move to direct chop in eyes of the trainees, the trainer. So I think the cataract surgeon should have all the techniques in his pocket. So they start with stop and chop, and step by step they can move to vertical chop or horizontal chop.
Sure. Now, when a resident or a young doctor has his or her first complication, So something bad happens during the surgery. The capsule breaks, vitreous prolapse, you drop a nucleus, some problem happens. How do you talk about it afterwards so you can learn from it instead of this becoming like a psychological roadblock?
So it's really obstacle for the growing skills, surgical skills, if resident have a cut in his growing.
That's right. You're learning, you're doing well, then you have a complication, and it seems like you fall all the way back down.
Yes, the first major complication is an important step in the learning curve of any resident. At the first phase of learning process, the residents are overconfident till that the first complication occurs. So we say no drama. Our top priority is the patient. When it happens, our first priority is the patient. So the trainer take the control, me or my assistant, the situation, we have to manage the complication. The debriefing of the situation comes after. The complication are an equation to analyze and learn, not to blame. I don't think it's good to blame the resident. And rather than asking who made this mistake or how, so we ask how to it occurred and what could we learn from this. This is the main goal when there is a complication. All the cases are recorded, as I said. We try together to analyze the situation in a healthy environment in our weekly staff or weekly video staff. The resident experience a loss of confidence after their first complication. Is important to be assisted and supervised when this complication happens. Otherwise, the shock will be more striking. So I insist to getting them back quickly to the theater and help them to regain confidence. I remind them that complication is a core part of our practice. I don't think there is no complication in our hand. Even a big surgeon or tremendous surgeon have a lot of more we do surgery, more we have complication.
That's very true. In fact, that's why when I was lecturing with your residents, the first case I showed, my first video, was me inadvertently breaking the capsule. So they can see, yes, even cataract coach can have a complication.
Yes.
So they have to understand that. Now, in the operating room also, let's talk about something else for young doctors, which is like the ergonomics, the foot pedal control, sitting at the scope. How do you teach this, the mechanics of the surgery?
So one of my first thing and what I say to my resident, you are a surgeon and you are a doctor. You are not playing PlayStation. So so you have to learn your machine and you have to be connected with your machine. So phacofluidics is my favorite topic for novice surgeon. And I like the video what you made for this field, for this phacofluidics. It's amazing, amazing and huge videos that you did, Oday. It's very important, and I learn a lot from you, and I transfer this for my residents. It's crucial for me that residents understand the phaco sitting and parameters, the difference between PAMPs before having the first step. The foot pedal is equally important. It's the interface between me and the machine.
Yes, yes.
Trainees must learn to understand the different pedal position, how vacuum built, how aspiration behaves, how fluidics affect the chamber stability. They need to get familiar to the different sounds of the machine. They try, and I advise them to try and to joke with the pedal a lot after the operating room when the program is over.
Sure.
The next advice with the machine is to be used to operating on microscope. We can't begin directly with cataract surgery. So I advised them to do pterygian surgery, and I accompanied them to do pterygian surgery. They performed many cases before they started cataract surgery. Pterygian surgery is quite safe, helps the resident to adapt the microscope and its pedal, adjust the ergonomics. It's very important, the ergonomics. This is improve coordination and precision for the surgeon.
Right. That's a good idea. Start with pterygium surgery because it's with the microscope. You're using your hands. You're suturing under the microscope. And you're not intraocular. You're not inside the anterior chamber. So good to start with the pterygium. I like that idea. Now, how do you teach some of the tougher steps of surgery, like cleaning the posterior capsule or getting the subincisional cortex? These are a little bit tougher to teach.
So these steps are quite difficult to teach. It depends on the feeling of the trainer and the training. But that is a course challenge for the trainer. As I told you, have no labs. When we learn the PECO, you should assure the patient safety and balance the resident enthusiasm to learn fast and finish his first PECO quickly. So actually, we teach the resident the PECO backward meaning. So we begin with, we start with the last steps, the easiest one, like hydro suture, viscoelastic injection, then removal, and IOL implantation. These are relatively the safe steps. Then we move to others. It is up to the trainer to give them more steps. If the trainer sees the trainee understands the concept and he's comfortable with the last steps, he can move to another. Fortunately, we have cataract coach in this time, and he's highly education videos. You made our mission to teach for young ophthalmologists much easier, trust me. This is why the ophthalmologists, young and seniors, love you.
Oh, yeah, it's we all learn together is the big secret. And the nice part now is everything is available on your mobile phone. So no matter which country you're in, wherever you are, you have access to these high-definition videos right there on your mobile phone. There's no excuse.
Yes.
So it's a different world now. So now we can basically equalize some of the surgical education. I learned from you, you have a lot of fellows who come to you from other countries as well because they don't have enough experience and they want to use their hands and do more surgery. So you get a lot of these of residents and fellows from all over. That's fantastic. Now, let's talk about managing what you have a lot of, which is dense cataracts and complex cataracts. So in Tunisia, you have a lot of these: brunescent cataract, white cataract, hypermature, Morganian, rock hard lenses. How do you train residents to do these tough cases?
So it's true. Learning the cataract surgery is more challenging in developing countries, including Tunisia, where we live, and when we practice our ophthalmology. It's not like Beverly Hills cataracts. It is not common, especially in the public sector, where residents are faced on this case of cataract, hard cataract. While cataract represent a natural progression of learning pathway, they introduce additional challenges without the full complexity of very hard nucleus, making them an ideal stepstone toward advanced cataract surgery. For me, doing white cataract is an ideal stepstone toward advancing cataract. Fortunately for residents, white cataracts are common and super satisfying for both resident and patient. Of course, they have seen the magic of surgical cataract when operating patient who had white cataract and had motion and passed through clear vision. This will feel them very confident, and they feel get taste of the magic of the cataract surgery. And we want them to have that feeling and are growing their feeling for surgery and their confidence in themselves.
Right, for sure. That's that's a good way of doing it with a, as a stepping stone. And yeah, white cataracts are like a true miracle. They can have hand motion vision. You do a beautiful surgery, and now they have normal clear vision. It's like magic.
So another major challenge for me today is the PX. In our country, the number is, I think the PX is the number one enemy of the cataract surgeon.
Pseudo exfoliation.
Yes.
Yes.
We don't have in our country. We don't have the exact prevalence in Tunisia, but it's very high prevalence. From our from my experience, it's up to half of the cataract on the operating list are associated with this syndrome.
Wow.
The novice resident face early these cases. Once the trainer sees this trainee has become quite comfortable with the routine cases, they can move to these cases and they can move and do this. Usually starting with cases with good and moderate dilation, no heart nucleus and or no phacoemesis, but always closely supervised by the seniors. Because right. The complication is very, very frequent in these cases, zonulitis and is an unpredictable complication.
Right. You have a lot of pseudoexfoliation. I'd say for me in Los Angeles, maybe at most 8 or 10% of patients with pseudoexfoliation. But for you, it's about half.
Yes, it's a 50%. It's around 50%.
Wow. Now, how do you teach all these techniques when you sometimes have limited OVD, limited machine options? Sometimes you don't have all these full resources.
So nowadays we are lucky. Thanks to our Ministry of Health, the facility and the equipment has improving since last year, so we got a Limera 700 microscope and three phaco machines. This helped our mission to ensure better outcome to our patient and to teach effectively the resident. Concerning the IOLs and OVDs, as a head of department, I set the rules at the beginning. Low quality IOLs and low quality OVD are not accepted. Working with dispersive OVD protect the cornea, protect the patient, and makes the rexus easier and makes the resident happier after his surgery.
No, that's for sure. That's very good. Yeah. Now, how do you choose? Because a lot of fellows and residents want to work with you. Lots of them. They come from other countries. How do you choose from these residents who are applying, who accepts to your program? Are there some hand-eye coordination tests you do? Is it the personality? Is it the work ethic? What do you look for in these young doctors?
So perhaps this is a surprise for me, but in Tunisia, we don't select our resident. Rather, the residents select their department. It's the opposite. So after a successful passing the national specialty exam, and choosing ophthalmology as a specialty, resident rotate between department every 6 months. So they are allowed to remain in the same department for maximum 2 consecutive semesters before moving elsewhere. So naturally, residents differ considerably in terms of motivation, technical aptitude, social skills. Our responsibility in my case is to provide each of them with the same opportunity to learn, develop, and reach their full potential. Of course, those who demonstrate a greater commitment and work ethic tend to progress quickly and rapidly. So what I have learned over this year is that surgical talent alone is not the best predictor of success. If you agree with me, we can discuss. But curiosity, preference, and humility are often more important. Working with a constantly changing group of residents certainly presents challenging for me and for my assistants. Every trainee brings a different perspective, and helping them to grow into confident surgeons remain one of the most fulfilling parts of my job and my life. And my
time. Yeah, you are very passionate. Even when I was visiting you in Tunisia, you're always working.
Yes.
I think you sometimes work more than 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
you work very hard.
We have 30 hours.
Yes.
In Syria, we have 30 hours.
It seems like it.
So for me, I'm strong advocated that manual scleral incision, as usually introduced in once resident, have acquired a solid foundation in cataract surgery. When he become more accurate in cataract surgery, we can move, learn manual scleral incision.
M6,
yes. So in Tunisia, since we have many hard cataracts, the older generation of surgeons relied on ECCE with large corneal incision. The M6 is much better, including much less astigmatism, as you know, and quicker recovery. Actually, the scleral tunnel goes beyond, I think, beyond the M6. It is ideal for managing phaco complication, offer much stability of anterior chamber stability. Anterior vitrectomy is much stable compared to a large incision. It is excellent for IOL removal, lens removal, or iris fixation IOL. Nevertheless, it's complication. Don't forget this. For my resident, I told them, nevertheless, its complications are mean and very dangerous if we have a complication with the M6. The shaping of the scleral tunnel is challenging, and mistakes can lead to a dangerous complication. This is why we only teach it more experienced resident. We have the advantage to being more familiar with M6 since we have much more hard cataract. But I think this valuable underrated option for any cataract surgeon worldwide. A few years ago in Tunisia, there is a lot of amount of surgeon who did the M6. But nowadays, there is a lot of young doctor do it. Our department play a major role in making this technique popular, teach it correctly, and convincing a lot of surgeons of its advantages.
Right.
Yes.
In the U.S., unfortunately, it's not very widely taught. I would say that 90% of ophthalmology residencies in the USA do not teach MSICS or M6. And I would certainly teach it, and I think it's important to learn. I think every surgeon should learn how to do it for sure.
So, yes, I know it's very underrated technique. But in my practice in Tunisia, it's useful when we have rupture capsule, RCP. So it's very easy to continue the operation in positive pressure. So right. It helps me to take over all complication or all issues in sure. When I fix the problem of the resident.
Absolutely. So looking back, you've taught so many ophthalmologists over the last couple of decades, and your philosophy of teaching is very different. You obviously have done a great job in teaching the next generation. So what do you feel is going to be your legacy that you're leaving for these doctors?
So when I look back to it, it's a great pride and satisfaction when I came to Nebel as a young head of department, and I had myself my own doubts and fears. When I arrived, we had a unique old phaco machine. I had to build everything from the ground, step by step, with a lot of perseverance and hard work. So even as you said, more than 24 hours. Our time was not easy. And what we took me 10 years, it will take less for our young ophthalmologist. It can do this with 1 or 2 years. If today's resident can learn more quickly, avoid some obstacle we faced, and reach a high level of competence earlier in their career, then we have done our job well. I also recognize that this journey came at the personal cost. I could have chosen to move into private, as you talked about when we were in Tunisia, much earlier, as many of my colleagues did. I would certainly have been an easier path in my aspects. However, my passion for teaching and my desire to pass on knowledge more stronger, it's my life. It's my scent. I believe that the true legacy of teaching surgeon is not measured by the number of the operation that I perform, but the number of the surgeon what we make. Every resident or fellow we train will go to care a thousands of patients throughout their career, creating a lot of and big effects that extend far beyond our own operating room. This is my idea and my thinking about. The best teachers are not simply those who transfer knowledge. They are who inspire confidence, foster curiosity, create an environment where young surgeons can thrive. Across North Africa and beyond, I hope we continue moving toward cultural collaboration. The goal of every teacher should be to ensure that the next generation stand on their shoulders, not their footsteps. This is what my philosophy in my career.
You've done an amazing job. As I meet many professors, I travel all over the world. You, my friend, are truly incredible. Really. Incroyable. And also, you're my French professor. People don't know. That's how I'm learning French. Yes. Professor Zabiba, he teaches me. you've done an amazing, you have an amazing legacy. And the best part is you still are continuing this. This is who you are. You were born to be a professor. You're born to be a teacher. And you do make some sacrifices. You did sacrifice. You do so much time with the residents that it takes away from a private clinic or takes away from your travel or personal life or anything else. It's a lot of sacrifice.
Yes. We do this for our progression of our specialty and our patient, to do this. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you've done an amazing job. I definitely look forward to your next Negos meeting to see who you invite next. I'm sure it'll be another world-class surgeon. It'll be amazing.
After Uday Devgan, it's a big problem to choose to go more upper that. So
no, you'll do a great job. Anyway, I want to thank you again for doing our podcast. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you. I hope the world can learn from you as well. So right now you teach all the Tunisian doctors and from other North African countries, but I think you need to be teaching the world. You're such an amazing professor.
Thank you, Dr. Uday. Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to remind our listeners and viewers, remember, we've got a new Cataract Coach podcast every Sunday on Apple and Amazon, Spotify, Google, wherever you find a cataract podcast, you find the Cataract Coach podcast. And remember, we got a new Cataract Coach video every single day. Check it out. Now it's more than 3,000 videos. So until next time, I'll catch you later.